Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is The Joy of Belly Dancing by George Abdo and his Flames of Araby Orchestra, released in 1975 on Monitor Records, catalog number MFS-764.
So, I'm not sure who picked up this album, but it definitely was an album that was intended for Flissy and is part of Flissy's Belly Dance albums collection.
It's interesting that you say that, because what I remember is that you had a couple Belly Dance albums at your apartment before I started belly dancing. So from my memory, this was like pre-actual belly dancing.
You know, I don't know. Maybe you're right, because I think that I did have, don't we have an album that's like How to Dance for Your Sultan or something like that?
Yeah, we have a bunch of belly dance albums. So the How to Make Your Husband a Sultan is Ozel Turkbaz. And we also have another George Abdo album that's The Art of Belly Dancing, has a similar cover. Those are the early belly dance albums that I remember.
So who knows? I don't know. They may have been mine. But yeah, they've become part of your belly dance albums collection.
I definitely appropriated them. But that's really like, when I think about when I first started belly dancing, like this is what I thought really got me into belly dancing was the music. And then I started getting interested into like, well, how do I take belly dance classes? Because the included instruction book, it's not really, I don't think it really embodies the how-to.
Yeah. Would you want to tell us a little bit about what this album looks like?
This album art is pretty epic. It has this model on the cover. She's wearing like this chainmail sort of bra and belt and necklace outfit. And she's also got this red veil draped around her. She's got sort of this very stylized pose where arms are lifted, the veil's around her. And you can see she's wearing this tiny, tiny skirt. It's also red down the front of her belt. And it says on the front, "The Joy of Belly Dancing with the King of Belly Dance Music, George Abdo and his Flames of Araby Orchestra." And then on the back, it has, of course, a track listing, and it has a little bit about the musicians on the album, and it describes how this is George Abdo's third record of belly dance music, and a little bit about him.
So, yeah, I mean, you had recently a performance where you had to dress in sort of a chainmail costume, but I have to say, I think her chainmail outfit is superior to the one that you were able to put together.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. That's slightly disappointing, although I will agree her costume's pretty awesome. And I did take inspiration from it. Like, the costume that I made had sort of this, like, jaggedy fringe in the style of her costume.
All right. Well, do we want to just listen to our first track?
Sure. Let's take a listen. What did you pick?
All right. This is my pick. It is, I think, track 3 on side A, and it is Rox El Ghazlan. I guess the English translation of that is Dance of the Gazelle. Thank you. Lissy, what do you think about this track?
I really enjoy this one. There's a couple things that I like about it. It has a couple featured solos from a few different musical instruments. And what I love most about it is it really accelerates towards the end in volume and tempo. And it really, I think, gives it that sort of leaping gazelle feel with the increasing tempo.
Yeah, I had a hard time picking a track from this album, and I ultimately settled on this one partly because it has, I think, what is some oboe in the middle there, and mm-hmm. as we learned on a previous episode, I played the oboe, and I also liked the sort of stringed instrument that comes in later. I think it might be an oud, but
that's
I'm not
right.
sure.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, it's not necessarily about this song in general, but I guess getting to the biographical information is when I first, you know, had these Belly Dance albums, because they were from, I don't know what the, I guess this one was from the 70s, but I kind of assumed that they were just sort of American artists who were doing, music in a sort of Middle Eastern style. Like, this might be someone who, like, did soundtracks for various, you know, Hollywood productions of things that take place somewhere in, like, vaguely in the Middle East. And George Abdo sounded sort of like an American name to me.
Yeah, he was born of Egyptian and American parents, so he's at least partially Egyptian, although he was born in Boston and grew up in Boston. Would you like me to say more about that?
Sure.
So, I mean, you're definitely onto something here. And what's interesting about your hunch is that this was definitely a thing. So if you think back in American history, there's like a wave of immigrants that came into the U.S. In the beginning of the 20th century. Like, you think about Ellis Island, like that wave of immigrants from all over the world. And this, like, their children started to integrate a little bit more with each other. And so you can see this on the musicians that are on this album, and also in the musicians that would have worked together in the nightclubs with George Abdo and other nightclubs across the U.S. You might have maybe the director of the band would be Egyptian, and then there would be, like, a Turkish guy playing the drums, and then there would be a Greek guy playing the oud. And so it would be like there would be enough shared culture between people's families from the Middle East that they would come together to make music together. And, you know, the dancer might be from somewhere else, so there'd be like a little bit of cultural exchange between the musicians and the people running the nightclubs. And so that's kind of what was going on at the time. And during the 1960s and 1970s, there was a little bit of romanticism of the Middle East. And so, like, in all sorts of things, like in textiles and in home decorations, there was like a romanticism of the Middle East. And so anytime that happens, there's like also just sort of this, it's the same thing with like the exotica of the 1950s and 60s. Like, well, Egypt and Turkey and Greece and Syria, they're all completely different places, but for our purposes, they're all sort of the same. So I think maybe Eddie Kochak coined the term Amerimic, and Eddie Kochak was another musician, sort of a contemporary of George Abdo. And this Amerimic music brings in some of these songs from all different places. They're all sort of from the regions of the Middle East. And in addition to using music and songs from different countries, they were also westernizing all of the music a little bit. So traditional Arabic music, the instruments have are played in a way that uses half tones and quarter tones. And we don't have that in American music, really. And so the songs might sound off key to an untrained U.S. ear. And so that is eliminated in this album. And also among other musicians, like Eddie Kochak was one of George Abdo's contemporaries. And so the music is a little westernized by dropping out those half tones and quarter tones. But, you know, it's kind of hard to say if like that was something that was originated by these guys. But it definitely, like, is pervasive, and, you know, into the 80s, there started to be a little less usage of traditional instruments when synthesizers started to get on the scene, and the early synthesizers weren't able to produce those like quarter tones and half tones. So it's kind of hard to say, like, you know, what part did the like technology play in the westernization sound of some of this traditional music. So, you know, at the time, like, you know, there may be like George Abdo, like he has like one Egyptian parent, one American parent, and, you know, they would still be adhering a little bit to tradition, but they would be like less traditional than their parents that came into the U.S. the, you know, turn of the century. So George Abdo, he, as we mentioned, he's from Boston, and he played music at Club Zara in Boston. And that was kind of his home base for a while. He sang in Arabic and Greek and French and Turkish and in English. And the model that's on the cover in that banging chainmail costume is Juliana. And she and her husband, Raphael, had a novelty show. So, like, there's kind of a little bit of controversy about her in the belly dance community, because we're the belly dancers are a little bit snobbish sometimes. Or like, well, she's not really a belly dancer. She's really mostly a model. And so if you were to look up her videos on YouTube, like, you'll see her dancing is a little bit awkward. Like, it is definitely really theatrical and not really traditional looking at all.
So what is the tie-in, though, with, like, I mean, this album is sort of, I guess, like you were saying, Amerabic. It's sort of American-styled, you know, Middle Eastern music with these different, you know, these different influences. But how does the belly dance tie-in come in? I just sort of assumed in the, around the turn of the century, there was like the World's Fairs. And I think when they were organizing the World's Fair in Chicago, they brought in some people to do belly dance. And I think it was sort of just manufactured. I kind of assumed that it was part of that exoticism, that it's, oh, it's Middle Eastern music, therefore, you know, must be belly dancing. But I don't know. I mean, do you know anything about that, about like why or how there is a tie-in to belly dance for this album, and specifically, like, why is it the joy of belly dancing?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I think the timeline of when this album was released would have been after the time where George Abdo was performing at Club Zara. And at Club Zara, there would have been a belly dancer. I think maybe some of the time it would have been Morocco, who's like, she is definitely an East Coast superstar. If there's any belly dancers listening that has more information on this, you can send us a tweet or whatever, hit me up. But what's interesting, I think this is part of like the cultural exchange that's going on within like the musicians too. So, you know, we have these dancers come in for the World's Fair, and how authentic that dancing in it is questionable. What happened after that for sure is that there was like this continued exoticism of belly dance and like hoochie coochie dancing, which is definitely doesn't have any real authenticity about it. It's like, it's wiggling. It's totally belly dancing. But at the same time, like, the origins of belly dance kind of as we know it now, in Egypt, there would be clubs and it would have a live musician and belly dance. And in addition to that, it would be like a cafe and there'd be different kinds of entertainment. And, you know, in the 1940s and 1950s, the Egyptian clubs, the dancers would be watching the movies coming out of Hollywood. And so there was influence from like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers on the belly dance in Egypt. And so there is like this constant cultural exchange going on. And so there's like, you know, in the 50s in Egypt, there was like this very like lyrical and expressive way of dancing that wouldn't have been the kind of dancing you would see like ladies dancing around at a wedding. It would be different. And that, like, what happened there, like, there was West influence in Egypt, and then, like, the American dancers saw that again and then brought it back again. And so it's still, like, this mishmash of stuff going on, and there is definitely a sequence to how American belly dance is presented in nightclubs. So the Rox Mustafa track that's at the end of this album is an entire belly dance routine, and it has sort of like an expected rhythm and arc to it that really, that like, that's still what you would see in if you went to a restaurant and there was a belly dancer. Did that answer your question?
I guess. I mean, this album, I guess, originally came with an instruction book. I don't remember whether our copy still has it or not.
Sadly, it does not.
But I think, you know, some of our other albums also came with instruction books, and I think some of those we do have.
Yeah.
And like, how, I don't know, authentic or whatever are the instructions in those? I mean, is it legitimate, you know, belly dance instruction?
Well, I mean, like, how much belly dance can you really learn from like a 4-page booklet? Like, not very much. We have it like in our bookshelf back there, The Complete Belly Dancer, which is in one, I don't know if that was from a George Abdo album or something else, but I mean, it, to its credit, it does have like fundamental movements in there, and there are some fundamental movements in belly dance that are shared among like all styles and approaches of belly dance. Like, you will move your hips is pretty guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. But, and I mean, I guess typically they talk about, oh, during like slow point portions of the music, you might want to dance sort of snake like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a thing, sure. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that anybody has ever learned exclusively from a booklet, from a record. If you have, like, let's see it. That'd be awesome.
I mean, I guess it's the same thing of like trying to learn swing dance from listening to swing music. And
We have like some of those Arthur Murray albums have like on the back or have a little booklet inside that have like the feats.
Yeah, exactly.
In it. And you're like, you got to step on the one and two, and it shows you where to put your left and right foot.
So, yeah, that might be enough to like get you to like step.
In like time.
Step in time. All right. Well, why don't we get to your clip, Felicity? What did you pick?
So my clip is another belly dance classic, Miserlou.
All right. Let's take a listen. What do you think?
So, Steve already knows this about me. Miserlou is one of my all-time favorite belly dance songs. It's a Greek song. And what I like about this version is it's a little bit mid-tempo version of Miserlou. Steve also knows about me that my preference in belly dance music is the tempo of dirge-like.
least that's how I refer to your song structure. It's like,
so it's like this version of Miserloo is between, it's like halfway point between Dirge-like and the Dick Dale version. It's like right in the middle. And I also really like at the end, towards the end of this version of Miserloo, is there is some improvisational vocalization on the part of George Abdu that is like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I found that interesting about this version that, you know, I've heard many, many versions of this song. And this one is interesting because it sticks a little bit less strictly to the melody, and it is a little bit more improvisational. And I think that that's, I don't know, it's pretty interesting. It's, yeah, interesting to see sort of a different, a little bit of a different take on it.
Yeah, and it, like at the beginning of it, I'm like, is this Miserloo? It doesn't really sound like Miserloo. Like it's a little
cuts in and out.
It's a little noodly at the beginning, and then it comes in like, oh yeah, it's my jam.
So I don't know. I mean, yeah, I would say that this album is a little bit, I don't know if I want to say more sophisticated, but it's a little bit more, you know, it's not just like, you know, straight ahead on the songs. It does have a little bit of interesting takes on them. So I think that's pretty interesting. So what do you think, Felicity, about this album? Worth owning?
Absolutely. It's a total classic. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about how there's influence from different parts of the Middle East. I mean, I mentioned Miserloo is a Greek song. There's some pretty classic Arabic songs like Rox Leyla's on here, Rox Mustafa, that routine that's at the end. There's some of that is sung in French. And so there is kind of a pretty rich history of music in here. There's like total classics. And, you know, I think the Rox Ghazlan that you played earlier, I think that's a George Abdu composition, as is the Rox Abdu, and it really, like, his compositions, I think, are really wonderful. And, you know, in being that you might classify this as Amerabic music, I think it really is pretty easy to listen to. And if you want to dip your toes into belly dance music, George Abdu is a great place to start.
Yeah, so you answered the question that I had, which was, you know, what percentage of the songs are sort of original compositions versus, you know, someone else's compositions? Because this album, other than Miserloo, I don't think I personally recognized anything, but you did recognize some of the songs.
Yeah, so Nora Yanora is another classic one. And Rox Abaroff is one that George Abdu wrote. Abaroff was one of the nightclubs where he used to play.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I think this album is fun. It's great for the cover. Nice for, you know, if you want to display an album. And, you know, the music holds up well, too. I think it's quite excellent. And I guess sort of captures what was going on in Arabic music in America in the 70s. So it's kind of interesting as well.
I'm a fan.
All right, so if you want to learn more, you can check out our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/19. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Living in Hi-Fi. As always, you can send us feedback to feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, we get back to some Americanized bossa nova with some Wanda Sa. So thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.